The New York Yankees won two out of their first three games on opening weekend against the defending champion Washington Nationals. But the big story is the coronavirus once again. Boy, do we have a lot to talk about here on this new episode of the Pinch Hit Talk podcast, which begins right now.
You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered by Delahanty Media. I am your host, Nick Delahanty. Now, the main topic of today's show should be the Yankees taking two out of three against the Washington Nationals, but it's bigger than baseball at this point as the coronavirus has struck again. In case you're not aware, the Miami Marlins had a handful, and I mean a handful, basically a third of their roster, come down with positive tests of the coronavirus, and it's really put a question mark on the Major League Baseball season. So we're going to break the opening weekend series down because obviously the Yankees played some baseball. But again, later on in the show, we're going to talk about how it impacts the Bronx Bombers because the Yankees game on Monday night was postponed due to the fact that their opponent just played the Miami Marlins and it was in their home ballpark in Philadelphia. So it would have been a really tough situation for the Yankees there. We don't have any definites on the 2020 season or how they're going to go along with this, but only time will tell. And as always, we're going to continue to provide shows and do updates as we get information on anything regarding the New York Yankees. Continue to follow us on Twitter at PinstripeTalkND. Send us your thoughts there at Nick_Delahanty is my personal account, and also on Facebook by looking up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. As always, we encourage you to subscribe, rate, and review our show. The big one is Apple Podcast, subscribe, rate, and review there. And again, we're on Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, you name it, the show is there available for you. We do that purposely, so you have no excuse not to find our show. So we hope that you tune in, share the link with your friends, find us on social media, and join the Delahanty Media Party as we go along. And again, if you're listening to our show, we have a Teespring account, which is posted on our social media feeds. If you're listening to this podcast, we will give you a 10% off discount on any item in the store. If you want to help support our show, support our brand, just put in the promo code P as in Peter, T as in Tom, and that obviously stands for Pinstripe Talk, but that will get you your 10% off on today's special. Now that I did my little promo for the show, obviously we do it every week, and you guys know that by now if you've been tuning in. Let's just jump right into the action here because I want to get into the Yankees opening weekend series against the Washington Nationals. And honestly, the way that the season is mapped out is you're in a 60-game sprint, as we all know. And since our last show, they actually expanded the playoffs to add teams into the mix. So essentially, each division is going to have two teams represent it, and then you'll have your obvious wildcard teams. So you'll have eight teams from each division. And to be quite honest with you, and I hate to sound cocky, I hate to sound arrogant here, but the Yankees won 103 games in a year where they basically had their backups playing the majority of the year. They weren't healthy at any point last year, and they still won 103 games. And this team is better than last year's team. So I think by the expansion of the playoffs, it all but basically assures that the Yankees are going to find a way into the postseason. I can't think of a scenario unless the coronavirus impacts them or they really, really get injured to even worse than last year. This just really helped the Yankees get in. I think that the regular season is a formality for them. Obviously, you want the best record because you want to have home field. And that first series is going to be played only at the home team's location. But I think that overall, the rule benefits the Yankees. It helps the middle tier teams. And it's going to really stagger the trade deadline too, because I think a lot of teams are going to be afraid to trade now, especially if they're still in the mix. But for the Yankees, opening weekend couldn't have gone better in terms of series-wise. I always say it, even in 162 games, you want to go into every series in hopes of winning the series. Yeah, ideally you want to sweep, but in most cases, you're not going to do so. And the Nationals, as different of a team as they are, still have a quality team full of veteran players. So going in, and this is before we knew what was going on, you're thinking you're facing Scherzer, Strasburg, and Corbin back-to-back-to-back, and you hope to at least get two out of three there. And opening night, it was a rain-shortened night. As we know, the Yankees and Nationals only played five innings, but Gerrit Cole, complete game in his Yankee debut, and he was amped up. He was excited early on in the game. You could tell that. I don't want to say it was nerves, more a little anxious it looked. He wasn't as sharp as we have been accustomed to seeing him, and obviously, you're on a new team, a team that you've grew up watching. You're finally wearing that team's uniform. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of nerves and excitement, and you're going to be a little amped up. So to see that Cole was able to buckle down was really nice. He outdueled Max Scherzer on this night. And again, like I mentioned, only a five-inning contest. The Yankees got some nice production. Aaron Judge looked really good in this ballgame, was 2-for-3 with a run scored. Giancarlo Stanton hit a moonshot. We're going to talk about him more in a little bit because he wasn't done over the weekend. Giancarlo had two hits of his own and the three RBIs. A couple of guys who had hits. The Yankees only had six hits in the ballgame, four of which came from the big guys in Judge and Stanton. You had Urshela picked up a hit, and Tyler Wade filling in for LeMay, who had a really nice game, scored on a Judge liner into left field, really showed his ability to run the base as a valuable tool for the Yankees, and defensively looked solid as well. Also had a bunt hit in this game that shouldn't be taken out of the consideration here. You know, filling in the void, it kind of gave Yankee fans that sense of, you know, if Gleyber needs a day off, if LeMahieu needs a day off, you can rely on Wade to give you something the Yankees necessarily don't always do, and that's run and use speed. They're not a small ball team. We obviously know that. They hit the home run or they strike out. That's the way they are. And Wade adds that different dimension that could be valuable down the road. And again, the extra inning rule is always there. So if Wade's sitting there on the bench and you're the home team and you have a runner on second base in that extra inning rule, Wade's going to be the guy you're going to put out there to score, because with no outs and him on second base, he could steal a bag if needed. He can take the extra base if needed. One of the fastest guys in the game, and I think that's going to be valuable for the Yankees down the stretch. And I mentioned Scherzer a little bit earlier. He went the 5-plus because obviously the game got stopped in the top of the sixth. Let up four runs, struck out 11 Yankees, was close to being done for the day. He threw 100 pitches, well, actually 99 to be exact, but just wasn't the Max Scherzer that we know. He did walk four batters. That got him into trouble. And if you're the Yankees, opening day couldn't have worked out better. Number one, Cole looked good. You saw 75 pitches out of your new ace, and you didn't have to really extend him further. I think that he probably would have gone another inning if the rain didn't come. And then you didn't have to use the bullpen. Even though you had the day off the night after, it was nice to not have to use the bullpen, because you're going into a situation where you're anticipating a bullpen game in one of these three games. And that was coming in game three. And what we learned after Saturday's game was that the bullpen was definitely needed because of James Paxton's terrible start in game two, which we're going to get into. But overall, opening night looked good. Again, you're finally facing live pitching, and the Yankees didn't have an easy matchup by going against Scherzer on night number one, but they were able to get enough done. A couple of guys struggled at the plate. We're going to get into them in a little bit as well. But opening night definitely was a good night for the Yankees, and it made you feel good to have live baseball back, just seeing the guys on the field. It was weird without the players. The crowd noise is a little different, but overall, very nice night for the Yankees heading in to the final two games of the series, which took place on Saturday and Sunday, respectively. Now, I don't know about you guys, but the majority of Friday for me was spent watching baseball. I was watching the Cubs early on in the day when they were on. From essentially 4 o'clock till the time I went to bed that night, I had games on. Of course, I was watching the Angels. Shout out to the St. Joe's guy, Tommy La Stella. I was watching for him. Of course, you want to watch the best player in the world, and Mike Trout as well. So you kind of killed two birds with one stone there. But I think the biggest thing was we got the Yankees on Thursday night, and then Friday there was no game. So it was a little bit of a tease, like, okay, here's your Yankees, but you're not going to fully get them until the weekend. You're not going to get back-to-back games. But again, we waited anxiously, and right away, I think all Yankee fans were a little upset about the start from James Paxton. Paxton only lasted an inning, looked really, and I mean really bad, on the mound, and a lot of the things that you saw on social media, and of course, it's too early in the year to panic about Paxton, but this would cause you to be a little concerned, is the velocity on his fastball. Last year, and you all remember, we saw him sitting 95 and at times 96, 97. He was in the 91 to 92 range, and that could be a testament to the back surgery he had. If you remember, he wasn't going to be ready to pitch on opening day. And from what the Yankees are saying, it appears that Paxton's having trouble stretching as he's going towards the plate. And I think it's a mechanical thing, and I think it's a thing he's going to have to work through in regards to the back injury. There's going to have to be an adjustment made. But to see him struggle the way he did, especially in such a shortened season, and when you have so much riding on him, is concerning. Now, you might only get 11 or 10 more starts down the road if you stay healthy. And this is a contract year for Paxton. It's a big year for this dude. But we know that when this dude is right, he brings it. And he's going to be a talent that's going to help the Yankees win games. But it's a matter of getting him to figure it out. Maybe the shortened summer camp, per se, didn't help him or do him any favors. Maybe he's still aching a little bit from the surgery that I mentioned before. We don't know. But it's going to be really interesting to see how the Yankees play it with him and how he looks when he comes back on the mound in his next start. And again, the panic level should be a little concerning. I wouldn't push the full panic button on him just yet, but Paxton became a very, and I mean very concerning status for the Yankees because who knows what you're going to get from the left-hander moving forward. If this is the case, they might be in trouble in regards to his spot in the starting rotation. They might have to look elsewhere for the time being until Paxton can figure it out. And we know he'll figure it out. And maybe once he gets healthy, if he's still aching a bit, that will come. Or maybe a quick mechanical fix from Matt Blake and crew can get him back on track. But we'll have to wait it out and see. I have full faith in the Yankees that they're going to figure it out and they're going to get him back on track. And he's going to be as valuable as we know he can be because he's a special talent. And we all know this. Now, the guy that needs a shout-out in this game, and the numbers don't really show it because he did let up four runs, is Michael King. King came in, threw some impressive innings of work, got 3 1/3 in. I think he got left in a little too long. I think once he got through that first time around the order, I think the Nationals picked up on what he was throwing. But for the most part, King was solid. The ERA after the game and the earned runs in the game don't really stand out. A couple of mistakes here and there. But you have to like what they have in King. I think that he's going to be a valuable piece that's going to stick around and help this team go. And he was really able to help the Yankees save the bullpen, which, as I talked about earlier, going into Sunday knowing you're having a bullpen game, you're going to need all the arms that you could possibly have in the mix. Holder came in. He was solid in an inning plus of work. Then you had David Hale, only got one out in this ballgame. Heller and Avilon came in to close it out. They both let up a run. The Yankees really didn't have a chance in this game. And before the game, Steven Strasburg was scratched. He's having problems with his wrist. He had a cortisone shot in the wrist. So Eric Fetty got the start. He only allowed one earned run. Looked a lot better than Paxton did. And the Nationals were able to pull away in this one. Some notables, Giancarlo Stanton was only the real notable to me. He had two hits. He hit a moon shot, and I mean another moon shot in this ballgame. 483 feet. Giancarlo looked good. And again, LeMahieu returns to the lineup. He only played a portion of the game. He went six innings. The Yankees wanted him to play in Sunday's finale, so they got him out a little bit earlier in this one. The Yankees had their chances to threaten. Only picked up seven hits in the ballgame. They go down 9-2. And again, I think the biggest concern here would be Paxton because Paxton had his struggles. But again, like I said, I'm not concerned totally about Paxton. I think that they're going to figure it out. And if he's still aching a bit, the Yankees will figure out a way to keep him effective. And in the same token, find a way to not only get him healthy, but keep him healthy for the long run. Before we get into Sunday's Game 3, I want to get into a roster move that the Yankees made prior to Sunday's contest. Late on Saturday night, knowing that they just used up a lot of arms in the bullpen, the Yankees determined that they were going to option Clint Frazier and Ben Heller to their alternate site, and they brought up Brooks Kreske and Nick Nelson. Obviously, they needed the arms to get them through especially knowing they were having a bullpen day. And I just have to mention it because it's something that has been bothering me in terms of this particular player. But I feel bad for Clint Frazier. I really do. And I totally understand the logic and where they're coming from in regards to Frazier. Yes, he was immature in the past and kind of wanted to play that GM role that he spoke to the reporters last week and said, you know, I gave up trying to play GM. I'm just trying to play. And this kid is a big league caliber outfielder, in my opinion. The problem for him is the roster ahead of him. And that's the depth that the Yankees possess at the position. And then you look at what they're doing in regards to Miguel Andujar, a guy that obviously you want his bat in there because of what Andujar's capable of. And you just feel for this kid because you wonder if he's ever going to get a full chance or a full opportunity with this team. Let's remember, Aaron Judge is not going anywhere. Unless he gets hurt, he's not going anywhere. Aaron Hicks is locked up, whether you like it or not. Career 240-plus hitter or whatever he is, he's locked into center field for years to come. Brett Gardner, the aging veteran that don't go away. Mike Tauchman, who's a guy that seems to get more valuable by the day in regards to how the Yankees feel about him. And then you have Giancarlo Stanton's big contract. He's basically locked in as the DH for the next 10 years. So is there really an opportunity for Frazier? Personally, I didn't have him on my opening day roster. And that was because I took more pitchers than position players. And for me, if you're not going to play him, why keep him on the roster? So I think that the Yankees kind of misled him by keeping him on the opening day roster. I understand that they felt he earned it and they gave him that crack. But again, he's not playing, so I would have just put him to the alternate site and let him get some reps and work. Do I think he'll get an opportunity to be a big league outfielder? Yeah. Do I think he'll thrive at it? Absolutely. I love this kid. You can go back in past shows and whatnot. I love what he brings to the table. He might not be the best defensively, but he has great bat speed. I think that he can really grow into a nice clubhouse guy. He has that kind of loose feel about him. And yeah, like I said before, there were times where he was a little immature and probably didn't handle things the right way. But I think he learned from his mistakes, and he's just waiting for that opportunity to shine. I think his opportunity is going to come elsewhere. I think the Yankees are going to end up trading him, but I don't know how much of his trade value has been impacted. You know, do other teams look at what the Yankees are doing and say, man, Frazier's up and down. There's got to be something wrong with this kid. Or do they look at it from the vantage point saying, you know, the Yankees have a lot of depth. They really haven't needed him out there. Maybe that's why he hasn't cracked the team. Maybe he, in a full-time role with us, would be a great asset, would be a great tool for us to have. So I do think he'll get his opportunity. And I wish it's in the Bronx because I love this kid. Like I said, I hope they keep him around. But I do end up thinking that the Yankees are going to pull the trigger on a trade and give him that opportunity that he's been seeking. The kid's going to be a good ball player. I think that the Yankees will regret trading him, but again, when you have a surplus of depth, there's only so much playing time for everybody around. So, again, I think that Frazier's the odd man out. I was disappointed to see that he was optioned down to the alternate site. I thought they could have kept him around. Maybe got him at bats or opportunity somewhere or somehow. But, again, I don't question them in terms of what they do roster-wise. They understand their roster. They know what they're doing, so I don't really question it. It was more disappointing as somebody who has grown to really like this kid and like what he could bring to the table to see him get another demotion down, usually to the minor leagues, but this to the alternate site. But I'm telling you now, and you can mark this, and I'll try to post this on our social media feeds. You haven't seen the last of Clint Frazier, so don't get that wrong. He will be back, whether it's with the Yankees or somebody else, and I think this kid is going to really light up the big leagues and take advantage of the opportunity that he'll eventually get. Now that I'm off my Clint Frazier fan club soapbox, I want to get into Game 3. And oh my goodness, I was sitting there for Game 3. And we're getting into the fourth inning and the Yankees offense looked bad. And Corbin's cruising. And I'm saying to myself, are we going to get a hit today or are we watching history? That's how good Corbin was throwing the ball. And how the Yankees, I don't want to say they looked hopeless, but essentially looked hopeless at the plate. Corbin was on. And when I mean on, he was on. He ended up going into the seventh inning, and we'll get into that in a moment. But the Yankees could not figure it out early on. They only had two hits against Corbin, and it looked like they were going to lose this ball game, and it was going to be a close ball game at that. They just couldn't figure it out. But luckily, they were able to kind of turn the tide and figure out a way to win the ball game. It wasn't pretty, but they did it. And the bullpen game kind of worked. It wasn't bad. Loaiza got the ball to start the game, and the Yankees waited a while to let that lineup out. And I wasn't surprised by it. I knew they wanted to make the Nationals think a little bit as to who was going to pitch. But Johnny Loaiza got the ball, looked good in three innings of work. It didn't look good early on, that 11-pitch at-bat to Turner to start it off. I'm sitting there thinking, man, this guy's only got 50 pitches and used it 11 of them on the first batter. That's crazy to me. But he was able to settle down, get them through three innings of work. Hale comes in, lets up a run. So the Yankees are down 2-0 at this point with Corbin absolutely cruising. But credit the Yankees bullpen. The Yankees bullpen did what the Yankees bullpen knows how to do. Dominate. Ottavino comes in the fifth. Shutout inning. Chad Green, two innings, no runs. Canley, man, did his stuff look filthy. He got in a little bit of a jam, but he got out of it. He was in for the eighth. And then Britton comes in for the ninth. And those guys, even without Chapman, you have to have confidence in those guys that they could get the job done. The real turning point of the game was the seventh inning, where we got not one, but two home runs from the Bronx Bombers. Now, Gleyber Torres absolutely stunk it up in game one and two. It could be the pressure of being in the three hole. Could be some early season kind of rust. But Gleyber came through, had a big day at the plate, 3-for-4 total. He had a home run off of Corbin that chased Corbin out of the game. That was a godsend for the Yankees. In comes Will Harris. A couple of batters later, Luke Voit, another guy who has looked absolutely atrocious at the plate over the first three games. He connects for a home run, tying the ball game. The Yankees go into the top of the eighth, having a tie ball game, and none other than Gleyber Torres, an RBI single to put the Yankees ahead for good. It got a little sticky. It wasn't all pretty, but the Yankees end up winning the ball game 3-2. Now, let's break down Corbin's numbers a little bit for you. 6 1/3, two hits, one run, which was the Torres homer, 8 strikeouts, only threw 75 pitches. I'm interested to see if Torres doesn't hit that home run, does Corbin stay in the game? It looked like he was. It looked like he had a short leash. Who knows about pitch count, but a guy that it looked like the Yankees were going to sign just a year ago in free agency, over a year ago at that, but the Yankees get to win the ball game. They didn't do their damage necessarily against Corbin, but the damage was started against him, and the Nationals bullpen kind of imploded. It's a great way to take 2 out of 3 to start the season. It's a big momentum boost moving forward at that point. And before we get into our next topic, it's something that you want to build upon and you want to grow upon, especially given your National League foes. That's 20 games of your schedule, and you're playing the defending champs. There's a lot on the line. You need to win those interleague games. They're important, and those can help separate you in the division. Yeah, you're going to beat heads and beat each other up in the division, but those other games and those other series against the National League foes are really going to help either A, distance you from the pack, or B, keep it very close to the point where other teams feel like they're in contention, especially while you're competing for not only the top of the division, but that number two spot in the American League East. Heck, we want the division, so the Yankees need every win they could possibly get. Two wins in this format is like four probably in 162 games, but you'll definitely take it. Some guys I want to note in terms of production this series, Luke Voit, man's got to figure it out. He's been looking at way too many good pitches. I, going into the season, was a little concerned about Voit. You know, he was one of the Yankees' best hitters last year, and ever since they got him, he's been really good. But there are question marks around him. There are questions surrounding this guy. Is he the long-term answer at first? But the home run kind of got me back on track with Voit. I'm not completely sold on it, and I'm going to definitely keep an eye on it, but Voit needs to really start swinging the bat at better pitches. I like him personally. I wish it works out because I think he's a really good clubhouse guy. I think he's a really good asset on the field. But my advice to Luke Voit, swing the bat at good pitches that come your way. You're getting a lot of them. Take your hacks, because when you connect, the ball goes, just like you saw in Washington the other day. It's hopefully a jump start to his season. And I'm not going to ride him off just yet, because obviously it's three games. You don't want to panic. But if this continues, I fully expect the Yankees to give Mike Ford a chance to compete at the position. Maybe not take it over full-time, but maybe let a spark up Voit. And who knows, maybe they do end up shifting LeMahieu back to first base and letting him get reps there. And if Wade or Estrada show that they can play every day or mix and match every day, it gives Aaron Boone a lot of options. So Voit does scare me, but again, it's early, and I'm at that point where I just think it's a matter of him swinging the bat. I think that he's good enough to hit for average. He's good enough to hit for power, but he's got to swing the bat. The other guy, and I'll briefly touch on him, is Gleyber Torres. I was happy to see him have a monster day on Sunday. You know, after the first two games, it was a little concerning. Is the three spot a little bit too much for the 23-year-old? But he, as always, proved that he's ready for the spotlight. He's ready to rock and roll. And I'm not worried about Gleyber, and I'm not worried about him kind of caving into the pressure of the three spot, especially hitting between Judge and Stanton. But that third game definitely kind of calmed my nerves about him a little bit and got him on track. And I'm sure he's feeling the same way. He had a big day. Was the main reason why the Yankees ended up winning that ball game. So I'm happy for Torres. I hope that continues. I think this kid's got such a bright future. He's definitely one of the brightest young stars in the game. And I'm excited to see what he's capable of. And I think hitting after Aaron Judge and before Giancarlo Stanton is definitely going to help him. Speaking of Stanton, the first two games of the series were fantastic for him. You know, you saw the two home runs. When he connects, the ball goes. You're going to have those 0-for-3 clunkers or 0-for-4 clunkers like he had on Sunday, and where he strikes out a couple of times. He struck out three times on Sunday. You know, it's just something you got to accept when it comes to G. He's going to strike out, but when he does connect, it goes a long way. So you hope you get more of the 2-for-3 with two home run games instead of the strikeout games, but you take the production. You're just happy to see him on the field and healthy. That's the main thing. Hasn't been healthy, but when he is, you saw what he did with the Marlins. The guy's an MVP caliber type of player, and I'm sure the Yankees are hopeful that he can stay healthy and productive, and that's why they have him in the DH spot. Limit the amount of time he has in the outfield. Get him on the field, but let him do what he does best, and that's hit. Now, the show's a little longer than usual, but there's a lot to talk about, especially now the coronavirus has really impacted the game. And first of all, shame on Major League Baseball for allowing the Marlins to even play on Sunday. They knew they had three positive tests, and it was an agreement by the players to play the game. Are you serious? These guys have been impacted. They have been around these guys, and you're going to let them go on the field and impact others? I hate to use him because he's a former Yankee example, but Didi Gregorius has some past history issues that can really be affected if he catches the virus. You going on the field impacts a guy like that and everybody they come around. And these guys are going home to families. They have friends that they're around. You know, the list goes on and on. And when the report came out, I was just amazed that this was allowed and nothing was done about it. And now you look at it, and one-third of the Marlins that were on their opening day roster, whether it's coaches or players, have the virus. And not only does it impact them, but it impacts everybody around. The Yankees had to cancel their game against the Phillies. Would you in your right mind go in that Phillies opponent locker room knowing that the Marlins, who half the team is basically affected, just came out of there? No way! I don't know what Major League Baseball is going to do. I really don't. Because I can't see a scenario right now where we play a full 60-game slate and the playoffs. If this happens to another team, we're in deep, deep trouble. And I just don't know what to say anymore about it. You know, when the season started, I was very hopeful. You know, I understand the severity of it. And I encourage everybody to wear a mask and social distance when you can. And you know, when you don't have to go out, don't go out. But in the same token, I definitely needed the sport of baseball back. It's a passion of mine. I love it. You know, it's something that yearly, it it takes up a lot of my time. And as you know from the show, it's something that I definitely have a passion for. But the way the world is going now and the way that the Marlins got impacted, it definitely changed the perspective of it. Not saying that we didn't know the severity of it and the risks of it, but now it's a real thing. And how's Major League Baseball going to attack it? Are they going to push through and say, you know what, the Marlins are affected, but we're going to keep going along. Hopefully nobody else gets it. Or are they going to say, this isn't the right idea, this isn't smart, let's stop this before it gets worse? And as time goes on, I hope that they put the money aside and they realize that there's more to this than just money. There's more to this than just baseball. Honestly, and obviously, if they decided to stop the season because of the coronavirus, I'd be upset because obviously I want to watch the Yankees. I want to watch baseball. But I would think it's the right decision if they feel that it's necessary, because people's health is definitely more important at this time, the way our world is going. So all we can do right now is patiently wait to see how this is going to play out. Is it going to play out in our favor? Is it going to play out to the point where more teams and players are impacted? Who knows? But moving forward, it is a very concerning thing. And more teams are going to get impacted, especially when you throw in travel into the mix. You have teams going from Florida to Philadelphia to New York to Boston to Tampa. The list goes on and on. So we hope that it doesn't impact the sport. We hope that guys feel safe enough to continue playing if they do decide to keep the season going. But only time will tell. And as more updates go on, you can rest assured we'll talk about them here on the Pinstripe Talk podcast. And that's going to wrap it up for today's show. My name is Nick Delahanty. I am the host of Pinstripe Talk. Again, the Yankees are my savior. They are the reason I'm sane. As you know, I'm a Jets fan. Jamal Adams was my favorite player. I don't think I have to really get into more of that. But if you want to hear my opinion on that, listen to the Let's Debate podcast on Thursday night live on Facebook. Search us up on Facebook, Let's Debate podcast. I'll definitely, and I mean definitely, we'll talk about that topic with my co-host, my cousin Kyle Delahanty. We break down all the and literally anything that's going on in the world of sports. It's going to be a fun one. Tune in there if you would like to hear me talk about sports. Find us on Twitter at Pinstripe Talk ND, my personal account at Nick_Delahanty. Search us up on Facebook, Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Our show is available on all podcasting platforms, starting with Apple Podcasts. Subscribe, rate, and review the show there. Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, you name it, our show is there available for you. So for the time being, the Yankees game against the Phillies on Monday night was postponed, but we hope that our show kind of helps you by the time, as we hope that we have more Yankees baseball to talk about. Until next time, my name again is Nick Delahanty, and this is the Pinstripe Talk podcast powered by Delahanty Media. Stay safe, everyone, and as always, let's go Yankees. Until next time, we'll talk to you soon.